allows the death of Jesus Christ to pick up the bills for your sin.
Dr. Tony Evans says God has a place for everyone in his plan of salvation.
But once you reach the age of accountability, you have to pay your own way.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. God's great love for us is why He sent His Son to earth, and it's also the reason we get to choose whether to accept or reject Him. But what happens to those who don't have the capacity to make that choice? Let's find out as we join Dr. Evans.
It has been on more than one occasion. A mother has come to me whose baby was either stillborn or who had a miscarriage or whose little child has died and asked me, "Where is my baby?" There have been occasions where I have been asked from parents whose children are mentally retarded, "What is the spiritual status of my child?" And then there have been numerous occasions where I have been asked about people around the world who never get to hear the name Jesus Christ. What is their spiritual status? So I could not conclude this series on heaven and hell, the afterlife, without raising this fundamental, controversial, and most difficult question. What about those who can't believe? What about those who do not either have the mental capacity or the available knowledge to respond to the gospel? What is the hope for such people? Is there hope for such people? And so that is the question that I want to respond to today, because I do not want us to be ambivalent and ambiguous about this question, either for ourselves or for our assistance with others who will inevitably face challenges that include this group of those who can't believe. Now, as we get started, let me make myself clear. I am not referring to those who choose not to believe. I am raising a question about those who lack the capacity to believe, either because of mental inability, because they're too young. And I'm also raising it about people who cannot believe because of the lack of availability of information. How do we address people who can't believe, especially since the Bible declares that all men are born in sin, that babies are sinners before a holy God? Not necessarily because they have done something wrong, but because they have inherited Adam's sin. And the Bible also declares that all who are lost, who die lost, spend eternity separated from God, which creates an emotional crisis about baby and young children and people who have not the information available to them. In the passage read in your hearing, John chapter 3, the issue of faith related to salvation is made clear. In verse 16, he says, "God loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him." Faith is the condition by which salvation is obtained. In verse 18, he flips it a little bit. He says, "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So the question that we must ask ourselves is, if belief in Christ is necessary for salvation, what do you do with people who cannot believe? Especially since the Bible is clear that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." It is exclusive to Christ. But that only complicates our problem. Because if faith in Christ is necessary for salvation, and there is this huge group of people who cannot believe because they don't have the mental capacity to believe, or because they don't have the information to believe, then how do we juxtaposition that to a good God? That is our problem. God invites all men to respond to him in faith. It assumes that the one he has invited has the capacity to so respond. God does not ask us to do something that we are incapable of doing, for that would be a trick. So to begin to answer the question, we must understand the premise, and that is the premise that the command to believe is only applicable to those who can heed it. Those who can't believe, now watch this, also can't reject. If you can't say yes to Christ, it also means you can't say no. So whoever can't believe also can't reject. And that's why John 3:18 is important, because he says you must believe, and the ones who don't believe are the ones who reject. Now salvation is free. Romans 3:24 says it's a free gift. Faith is only the link that receives the gift. Since it's a free gift by faith, anybody who exercises faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ gets the gift. But also, it does not hinder God from accomplishing salvation in those who can't believe, because it's not a work to trust Christ. It is simply a condition of receiving to trust Christ. God would not be just if he held people accountable for that which they could not do. 1 Timothy 4:10 says, "For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God," now watch this, "who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." This verse says God saves on two levels, not one. He saves all men, generically, and then he saves some men specifically. The group that he particularly saves are those who can believe, because they're called believers. But in what way has God saved all men? And here is the crux of the matter to the solution of the problem. The death of Jesus Christ, here it is, removes the guilt of original sin for all men. Every baby born into the world is born guilty of Adam's sin. For in Adam all die. God can't skip that. So what God did was let Jesus die on the cross to remove the guilt of original sin, so that people no longer go to hell because of what Adam did. They now go to hell for what they do. They can no longer blame Adam. God took care of Adam on the cross. He paid for original sin. That is why 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "God hath reconciled the whole world to himself." That is why the Bible says he tasted death for every man. That is why John 1:9 says that Jesus Christ lights the light of every man who enters into the world. That is because the death of Jesus Christ address the problem of original sin. And since a baby can't believe and therefore can't disbelieve, the only thing that would send him to hell would be Adam's sin. But since the death of Jesus Christ addressed the problem of original sin, the reason that a baby goes to heaven before they reach the age of accountability is that the sin that would take him to hell was paid for by the death of Jesus on the cross. So babies go to heaven not because God skipped sin. Babies go to heaven because God dealt with sin on the cross, because he was the Savior of all men. But once you reach the age of accountability, once you reach the age where you understand that God exists, once you reach the age where it is clear that you are a sinner, once you reach the age that you can respond to the revelation of God, now it's not an Adam issue, it's a your name issue. It no longer relates to Adam, because that was covered. Since Christ is the Savior of all men, it now relates to you. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11 says, "If you seek, you will find." Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, "When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you." Now here it is. When a person who can know responds to what they do know, God takes personal responsibility for giving them more information that they need to know to respond to. God then has three options. Option number one, to send them a missionary. who says, yes, yes, let me tell you about the true God and how he became a man. And so they hear the gospel as you and I would hear it in America. That's option number one. Option number two, to supernaturally reveal himself to that person apart from a missionary. There have been missionaries who've gone to tribes and told the tribes about Jesus, and the tribes responded, oh, that's his name. God had some way supernaturally revealed himself to people who sought him. The third option that God has is to apply, now watch this, another dispensational category to them. There were people in the Old Testament who got saved, but who never heard the name Jesus because Jesus hadn't come yet. But they were still saved because they believed what God had revealed. The Bible says Abraham believed God. Well, he didn't believe God about Jesus. He didn't know anything about Jesus. He believed what God had revealed to him. And in believing what God revealed, the Bible says he was justified. So then you're saying, Pastor, are you telling me somebody can get saved without Jesus? No, nobody can get saved without Jesus because he is the Savior of all men. He's the Savior of all men, even when you're a little baby and you never heard his name, because in the mind and heart of God, the death of Jesus Christ satisfied the guilt for all men. So no man is saved without Jesus. But a person can be saved without knowing Jesus' name. Not without Jesus, but without knowing Jesus' name, because God didn't send him a missionary. He didn't give him a supernatural revelation. So what he had to do was apply a different category. Still based on Jesus, but because they responded to the information that they had, he can treat them like an Old Testament saint. And an Old Testament saint got saved because they trusted what God had revealed. Point, there'll be more people in heaven than you think. That is why John says that when I looked in heaven, I saw people from every tribe, every nation, every kindred, and every tongue. How can that possibly be when you have tribes that have never had seen a missionary? What has happened with all of those tribes where they've never seen a missionary, where they've never heard a presentation over the radio or over the TV? How in the world can a God like that be fair? He can be fair because he's already taken care of all the kids. He can be fair because he's already taken care of all the people born mentally incompetent. And he can be fair because anybody who wants to know him will know him from one of those three ways. So God is not this monster in the sky. Yes, he doesn't compromise his justice, but the Bible says God takes no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. The Bible declares that it hurts the hearts of God, and he begs people to turn to him. He is not this monstrosity in the sky, just booting people into hell. But what he will not tolerate is for him to reveal himself to you and you reject him. That he will not tolerate. Nobody with mental competence who lives in America has any excuse. Because you not only see nature, you get an education that describes it. Where people in the world don't get that education. And you get churches and bookstores and TV programs and radio programs, and they don't just talk about God, they tell you about Jesus.
More about how God reveals himself to us when Dr. Evans continues our message in just a moment. First, though, I want to remind you that today's the last day we're offering this month's featured CD series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly, as our gift. It's packed with biblical advice about how to activate the angels God has sent to help you and defeat the ones who are dedicated to your destruction. And if you contact us before the day's out, we'll send you all six CDs in volume one of this collection as our thank you gift when you support The Alternative with a contribution of any size. Remember, we depend completely on your faithful support to keep Tony's teaching on this station. So make arrangements today to get the Angels CD series by visiting us online at tonyevans.org. While you're there, check out the brand new booklet Dr. Evans wrote to go along with our current series, Eternity, Understanding Life After Death. It's a great resource to deepen your own devotions or to share with your Bible study or small group. Again, you can find out more about it by visiting tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222, where staff members are standing by to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, here's Dr. Evans with more of today's message.
God has covered himself completely, for he is the Savior of all men. He didn't just die to make men savable. He died to save men from the consequences of original sin, and then from the consequences of personal sin. And you don't go to hell for original sin. You go to hell for personal sin and rejection of the Savior. That leads to the final point. Prove that to me. 2 Samuel. David's baby died as an infant. Because of his sin, the baby died. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22, we read these words. And he said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now he has died, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? No, he couldn't raise him from the dead. I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. Now, David knew he was going to go to God. Remember, he was going to live in the house of God forever. He knew he was going to heaven. Any mothers here who have lost infant children or children who were too young to understand the reality of God and understand the reality and consequences of sin, I have good news for you. The bad news is they can't come to you. But the good news from David is you can go to them. You will see them again. In fact, you will not only see those babies again, you will see them as they were meant to be. You'll see them without the headaches. You'll see them without the teenage years. You'll see them as they were meant to be. Now, somebody may raise the question, but how do I know he's not talking about death? I will go to be with him in death because he can't come to be with me. Well, number one, when you die, I don't care how close you buried to the person that you love, you're not with them. All right? You in your box, they in their box. All right? You're not with them. You just side by side. It's a fellowship term. Not only that, but look at what David does in verse 20. So when the child died, so David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, changed his clothes. He came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Well, what is there to worship about if you don't have hope? He's worshiping because he knows to be with him meant to be with him relationally. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Verse 3, Matthew 18, verse 3. Jesus talking about children. Truly I say unto you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. To be converted, to believe, is to become like what? A child. Why? What is there about conversion that's equal to being a child? The removal of the guilt of sin. That's what's the same thing. Unless you believe, that is to become like a little child, that is to place yourself in the hands of Jesus Christ, which is what Mark says, telling the story. Mark chapter 9, verse 36 says, Jesus took the child into his arms. That's what it means to believe. It means to place your eternal destiny in the arms of Jesus Christ. Since a child, that is an infant, is unable to exercise faith, guess what parents do? We pick the child up in our arms. Guess what Jesus does? Jesus picks the child up, but you know when the child gets big and wants to do his own thing, it wiggles out of your arms. That's the age of accountability. When you wiggle out of God's arms, now you must believe. But before then, you must be like a little child because little children are covered. So he equates being like Christ with believing. Why? Because they're both in the same situation, in the Savior's arms. Notice verse 10. See to it that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually behold the face of the Father who is in heaven. Guess what he says? Children have angels. But guess what Hebrews 1:14 says? The only folks who have angels are believers. So if the only folks who have angels are believers and children have angels, then children are covered by the angels that only believers have. And if that be so, then until they reach the age of accountability and are now condemned for personal sin, they're covered by their saving angel, whose job it is to take them to heaven if they die before that age. And by the way, I'll throw you another curveball. The age of accountability is quite high in the Bible. It's not a low age. Remember when Israel was going into the land, God said everybody under 20 can come in. Everybody over 20 can't come in. I will not hold accountable those who are 20. So God is very generous with his age of accountability. Now, it's going to vary from kid to kid because some kids have access to things and no more early than other kids. So there is no the age of accountability. But whatever the age is, it is quite generous from God. Why? because he's not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3, but that all would come to repentance. So he's going out of his way to get people to heaven. Oh, by the way, let me state another one. Ethiopian eunuch, remember? He was reading his Bible in Acts chapter 8, but he didn't understand. What did God do? God sent a missionary supernaturally to him, transported Philip over to him to give him the gospel because he was searching, he couldn't understand, and God made a way. God saved saints in the Old Testament who never heard his name because God made a way. He never leaves himself without a witness. You say, but Pastor, you're creating an exception situation. But God creates exceptions. For example, it's appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. Let me repeat that again. It's appointed unto man once to die. How many times are you going to die? Isn't that what the Bible says? It's appointed unto man once to die, right? Every man's going what? Every man's going what? Are you sure? Enoch didn't die. Elijah was lifted up in a chariot. He didn't die. Lazarus died twice. God raised him from the dead. Then he went and died again. Every time the disciples raised somebody from the dead, they didn't die once, they died twice. When Jesus raised a man from the dead, they didn't die once, they died twice. When Elijah raised the widow of Zarephath's son, he didn't die once, he died twice. But the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. That's the rule. God always leaves himself room for exceptions because he's God. And he wants to make an exception, he makes an exception because it's his show. So it's no problem. Now some of you others are raising another question. You say, well, why preach the gospel? Because the Bible says that men suppress the truth. And we need to help pry them loose from that suppression. That's why. There are people in your families who are on their way to hell. They're not on their way to hell because they don't know. They're on their way to hell because they're trying to hold down what is obvious. And you need to, by the power of God, pry them loose from that. You need to preach the gospel because the gospel is designed to open up their eyes. Satan is keeping them blinded. And they don't understand that they must choose Christ. And if they don't, you don't just hope they make it. Because when men are faced with the reality of God, Satan is so powerful and sin is so pleasurable, he will blind them like he did in the days of Noah when the whole world perished. God gave them 120 years to repent. Noah preached the gospel for 120 years and only his family responded. Yes, you better preach the gospel. Because men suppress the truth. They don't want God ruling over them. God is saying, I want you to live with me. Satan is saying, but I want you to live with me. And if you're here today and you do have the age of accountability, you can understand the reality of God in nature. God is now saying to you, where do you want to live? Where do you want to be your permanent home? You want to be with me? I've made provision, believe in Christ.
And if you're ready to make that choice today, visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link that just says Jesus. You'll find a video from Tony explaining how to become a real Christian, along with some free downloadable resources that'll help you understand what living a brand new life is all about. Well, today's lesson was the last in our current series, The Afterlife, Glimpses of Heaven and Hell. So now's the time to get in touch with us for information on getting a copy on CD or DVD. Today's also your last chance to take advantage of our special offer on this month's featured CD collection, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly. As I mentioned earlier, if you contact us today, we'll send you all 6 CDs in Volume 1 of this series as our thank you gift when you help us out with a contribution of any size. Again, this special offer ends today, so don't wait. We've got staff members standing by around the clock to help you at 1-800-800-3222. So there's no need to wait. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Or get even faster service by visiting us online at TonyEvans.org. When you're reading a mystery, you don't want anyone telling you in advance how the story comes out. But when you're living through tough times, knowing that there's a happy ending ahead can make all the difference. So be sure to join Dr. Evans tomorrow as he kicks off a brand new series on prophecy. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.